from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Vibes are great on a Friday. Welcome in, everybody, whether you're listening on the radio, whether you're listening on the free Odyssey app, whether you're watching on ESPN 1320 TV, youtube.com/ESPN1320, that's twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you're hanging out there, hanging out in the chatty house, we appreciate you immensely on a Friday. There is so much to get to. We got NFL playoff action beginning this weekend. It is wild card weekend. I will never call it super wild card weekend. That's stupid, and I hate it.
Is that a thing?
Yes, that's what it is officially called.
Oh, no.
If you were writing for, like, the New York Times
or you have to call
the Associated Press.
Oh, no.
Luckily, I don't write for USA Today proper, so I just get to blog, and I just get to call it wild card.
Wild card weekend. Card weekend.
Not mega, not ultra. They were like, yeah, Super Bowl, Super Wild card.
Super mega
and
ultra
even, bro,
wild card weekend.
It's not even weekend. They called it super when they moved a game to Monday.
Oh no.
It's wild card weekend and Monday. Not super wild card weekend.
Why are they cheapening the term super?
Like right.
they are the owner of the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like what are we going to call it? The Super NFC Championship.
Right.
Super Championship Weekend.
Right. Like, no, man.
No.
This is Wild Card Weekend, the Divisional Round, Championship Weekend, Championship Sunday, I should say. It's not even weekend. Championship Sunday, and the Super Bowl.
That's rough.
Super Wild Card. No, get out of here, dude. Super Wild Card Weekend sounds like, you know, those bags of cereal that are like the knockoff cereals.
Yep.
Not dragging those at all, by the way.
Okay.
Have eaten plenty of those bags of cereal in my day. But that's what that feels like to me. There's Wild Card Weekend. They're like, well, we have Super Wild Card Weekend and it's 14 cents for a 9-pound bag. Try the Super Wild. No, man.
The fake
Come
Fruit
on.
Loops. The and fake it, Fruit Loops get you every time, Kyle.
I'm in. Like I'm in. Like I said, I'm not knocking it.
Oh,
got,
yeah.
Oh wow. This is wow.
Oh yeah.
James in his Captain Crunch shirt. That was unplanned.
The good captain.
I love that you're a very buttoned up person. And I mean that I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
Being buttoned up is a good thing to be. You're a very buttoned up person. And you're very adult. You are of my adult friends, my most adult friend.
Okay.
So I'm an adult now. I have, I say adult friends. Like I don't.
Of all
of
your
all my friends you are the most
and
adult.
All of them are adults unless
right.
you have
I'm not
children
like friends,
friends.
I'm not just friends with like the 13-year-olds.
Let's but hope no, not, Kyle.
just so of all my friends, you're one of the most adult. And so you going with the, what is that? Columbia? Patagonia? What do we got?
No, it's like Patagonia, but it's not.
But it's like better. Got it. Okay. So,
yeah, I think it is actually.
Okay. So your high end Patagonia.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Of course.
I don't. We live different lives. the fact that you unzip that to show a Captain Crunch shirt.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
I mean, I wear Dr. Pepper shirt all the time. I have Mountain Dew shirt. I have a really...
You're a big graphic tee guy.
Yes. I have an amazing, amazing Pinky in the Brain shirt that's old and like on its last legs. Yeah, I wear these shirts on it. I have like... I don't know, different movie reference t-shirts,
sure,
and stuff.
Yeah, I'm into what I need to do. So I'm not a hoarder, but I sentimentally attach value to too many things.
Of course, I do too.
And so I have the biggest drawer in my dresser is the t-shirt drawer, and it is packed. I have t-shirts to go other places because it's full. Because there's shirts I don't even wear anymore that I'll never wear. If I disappeared, if my wife went through my t-shirts right now and kept the 14 t-shirts that I wear. I don't know how many. It might be 10. I don't know however many t-shirts I wear. I would go, hey, where'd my shirts go? But I don't think there's any I would be able to like name like, oh, I miss that shirt, you know, but I have them all. So that's what I need to cut down on some of my graphic, because I have some like that where it's like, not Captain Crunch specifically, but a shirt that was relevant to me at one point that no longer is, that I just need to toss.
Yeah. I mean, I have like my Save Ferris shirts and...
Sure.
Yeah.
Like the obscure, fun movie references. One of my favorite shirts, it's, you know, the Rafiki painting of Simba?
Yep.
In Lion King?
Mm-hmm.
It's that, but it's kind of like Black Panthered out.
Oh.
It's one of my favorite shirts. Like that one can stay, but I have a couple other ones that I just need to get rid of.
Okay.
But at some point, that I will get into a mindset where I'm like, it's purge day. And I will go through my closet. I'll rip through my closet, and I'll have four bags full of clothes ready to take to Goodwill.
When I'm not here, I can honestly tell you I'm a serious person, like most of the time. But when I'm not here, like number one, I mean I cut loose pretty, regularly.
You go to trivia night 9 nights a week.
It's only on Wednesdays, but yes. I also like I'm pretty laid back when I'm not here, when I'm not doing my job. Just a little laid back.
I think that you made Manny's entire day.
Oh?
By wearing a Captain Crunch shirt.
Yeah, I think so too.
Manny is a big cereal guy.
He's seen that before.
His name in the YouTube chat is The Cereal Connection.
Yeah, like, I'm a big Captain Crunch guy. Like, Crunch Berries. Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries.
The peanut butter Captain Crunch?
No, just straight up.
It's a big time. The peanut butter Captain Crunch is great for me.
Okay.
It's also by far, without question, the best Magic Spoon flavor.
Oh.
I've had maybe 8 flavors of Magic Spoon.
Okay. I don't know what Magic Spoon is.
I don't want to drink. It's this like a cereal that's trying to like imitate the flavors of the cereals of your youth. With not sugar. And it just, I don't want to drag them. It's, most of the flavors are just okay.
Okay.
There's some that aren't great, but the peanut butter one, I could bury me in it.
Okay.
I love it. Anyways, all right, that's enough cereal talk.
Yeah,
we have football.
Yeah, we have
NBA trade rumors, murmurs.
There's
murmur then rumor, whisper, murmur, rumor.
There is a lot heating up right now. There's a lot of things, like not just Kings World, but like in the league. There's a lot of things that we're starting to hear. So yeah, it's interesting times, man.
You threw out a name last night.
Yep,
that I thought was very interesting for the Kings. So we will talk about that. Probably talk about that next.
I think it's good. But we keep doing this. We keep taking on a player that maybe people would like or wouldn't like, but we break down all the stuff, the dynamics of it. I think it's a good way to bust into trade season.
Yeah. And this is, of the names we've talked about, I think this is the most interesting that's not like a Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
I think it's in that tier of player, but it's not one. It's not Pascal Siakam. And OG's obviously already been traded. But anyways, we will talk about that coming up. A couple of NFL notes.
Yes.
From this morning. So we'll have NFL playoff talk for you today. We haven't gotten into that a ton this week, but we will do that. We have some fun props. We'll have mad props, but we have some fun props from our friends over at Bet Online that they sent over that I want to run through with you, and then we'll make predictions and we'll talk about who the 49ers should or should not want to play, because Fred Warner said he's going to watch this weekend and root for everybody to lose.
Well, that's what you should be doing.
No doubt, but also that's not realistic, so who should the 49ers be rooting for?
Okay.
We'll dive into that, but it was announced this morning, the Associated Press, All-Pro first and second teams. The 49ers had 7 All-Pros, the second most. The Cowboys had 9.
Ooh.
Cowboys had 9 All-Pros. 9 All-Pros, 10 points against the 49ers. That's crazy. All right, so the 49ers, 7 All-Pros, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Trent Williams, and Fred Warner. Those are the first teamers. Christian McCaffrey and Fred Warner were both unanimous first team selections.
Oh.
And then Brandon Ayuk and Charvarius Ward were both on the second team, the first time for both players making an All-Pro team, so congratulations to them.
And All-Pro is so much more important than Pro Bowl.
1,000%.
Like, so many people make the Pro Bowl. This is like the best of the best, voted on by everybody. Like, this is the best of the best.
When you go back and look through somebody's career, their basketball reference page or their football reference page or their baseball, I guess baseball, not really, but you go through basketball or football reference, the first thing I look at is how many All-Pros did they have?
Yeah.
That's just a very good snapshot of, okay, maybe they made the Pro Bowl. Maybe they were really good at their position that year, but were you one of the best 2 to 4 players at your position?
Yeah,
that's what matters.
During an era, are you one of the best? You know, it's like, how good was Tim Brown for all those years, but was he ever a top 4 wide receiver in the NFL? The answer is no.
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 He's really good, though. Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah. So, just interesting.
Let's see. I have a list of players who got votes. Brock Purdy received 22 votes out of 50 total. He was not a All-Pro quarterback. If he had been, I would have been very surprised. Debo Samuel received 3 votes. Nick Bosa had 5. Javon Hargrave, Dre Greenlaw, Tayshaun Gibson, Mitch Wishnowsky, and George Odom were the others to receive votes.
Oh.
George Odom, special teams ace.
Yes.
So that's that to me underscores why the 49ers need to win the Super Bowl. Because rosters like this don't get to hang around for a long time. Christian McCaffrey, big money player. Kyle Juszczyk, big money player. George Kittle, big money player.
Yeah.
Fred Warner and Trent Williams, all making a ton of money. Brandon Ayuk, due to make a lot of money.
Yeah, that probably just hurt the Niners.
Big time.
Yeah.
Charvarius Ward, on a reasonable deal, especially if he's going to be playing like an All-Pro.
Yeah.
On a reasonable deal, but I think he's only signed through, I think he's signed through next season, maybe the next 2 years.
He's good.
But he's had a really, really good year.
Yeah.
But this to me just underscores like, man, this is you've got 7 All-Pros, you didn't need that to know the 49ers had a really good loaded roster. But you look at all of these players, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Trent Williams, those 4 specifically, like, how many years of high-level play do they have left?
Yeah.
How long, even if they're with the 49ers for the next 3-4 years, what does that window look like? Mm. How quality are they for that stretch? So that was the big takeaway for me with the All-Pro teams.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. I thought that they might have a few more, like, to be honest. I'm surprised Ayuk made the All-Pro team, just because there are a lot of really, really good wide receivers.
Yeah, the thing with Ayuk that's fascinating is when you put his production into a, like, league average volume, passing volume offense.
Uh-huh.
Because the 49ers were last in the league in pass attempts. If you put them in the middle of the league, I think 480 puts them in the middle of the league. And then you flesh out his numbers and his rate stats. He's at like 88 catches, 1,600 yards, 8 touchdowns. Like he's right there with his volume so low. And then when you go look at all the advanced metrics of like separation and catch percentage and percentage of catches for first downs, like all this stuff, he is at or near the top of the league in all of those. So I think it's really well deserved for him. Honestly, the biggest snub out of all those players I named, it's Mitch Wishnowsky.
Mm.
Mitch Wishnowsky was awesome this year.
He's always awesome, man. You know, the Niners have had a long history of like awesome punters.
I don't know if that's good.
Andy Lee.
He was like, their best player for a long time.
He was their best player. Yeah. What, Max Rudiger? Yeah, there we go.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Thompson is the name of the first punter I remember.
Oh, okay.
For the for the 49ers.
Reggie Roby.
Damn. R.I.P.
Yeah, one of the great punters of all time.
R.I.P. Reggie
Dolphins.
Roby. Yeah. 49ers legend.
Yep.
All right. Kings at 76ers tonight. Is this the toughest matchup of the year for Sacramento? We'll talk about that. But there's some trade whispers. Murmurs? It's whisper then murmur.
Something like that.
Are we between a whisper and a murmur?
Yeah, something like that.
All right. There's a name that's popping up around the Kings. And we got to talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm telling you, some of my favorite conversations are just talking about players from my youth.
Yeah. No, I love it. Like
I did not mean for us to disparage the name of Tim Brown, who is a bona fide stamped Hall of Famer.
No, he is. He's a Hall of Famer, and awesome. I don't want to take any, but that doesn't change the fact that, you know. You know what? Like, I'll bring this up, Kyle. Yesterday, we talked about, you know, where does Domantas Sabonis fit into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Like, and it's more specific. Like, if you're going to be a player who makes the Hall of Fame, you have to be within the top, like, three or four at your position for an extended period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I think about, like, guys like Tim Brown. And mm-hmm. Tim Brown fits into, like, a different category where he was really, really consistently very, very good his entire career. And I know it's not the Hall of Very Good. It's a Hall of Fame. But mm-hmm. it reminds me of, like, the 90s where, like, you know how many centers there were? You could be, like, even, let's say Vlade Divac, probably the 11th best center of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 12th. Because there was that many great centers.
Firmly top 15, fringe top 10.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but you think of, like, the fact that Olajuwon and Ewing and mm-hmm. Alonzo Mourning and Dikembe Mutombo and Shaquille O'Neal, and, like, there's just so many great centers from that era. So, like, it's okay for Tim Brown to be a guy who maybe wasn't the top 10 or maybe mm-hmm. wasn't a top 8 wide receiver, like, his whole career. But he's still the longevity and everything else. He did the work to make it to the Hall.
He was also an outstanding return man, both at Notre Dame and with the Raiders.
Yeah.
He led the league in return yards as a rookie and was a Pro Bowler as a returner as a rookie. And then in his fourth year, he was a Pro Bowler again, thanks in part to his contributions as a returner. But no, Damian brought this up yesterday talking about De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I wonder how the first few years of De'Aaron Fox's career will be looked at if he continues being this player who's just kind of perennial all-star,
yeah.
All-NBA, in the MVP conversation, if he continues doing that for the next, you know, 8 years. And how does it... Tim Brown did not hit 1,000-yard receiving until his sixth year in the league.
It's wild to look at this. His first 5 years were a complete waste.
Well, as a wide receiver, he, like I said, he contributed a lot as a returner.
Well, no, I get that. But as a wide receiver, I mean, he was a top-tier pick. I mean, he was a really good player coming mm-hmm. out of college. The fact that the Raiders squandered the first 5 years of his career as a wide receiver, I mean, 725, and then he got hurt, and mm-hmm. then 265, 554, 693. I would have not thought that was the case. And then he rattles off, what, 9 straight years of 1,000 yards.
Yeah, 9 straight years where he averaged 88 catches, 1,200 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was really, really good.
That's awesome. That's really good. Oh, and he was a second-team All-Pro. I lied earlier. He was a second-team All-Pro in 1997 when he led the league in catches.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Yeah, that, and I would say, too, someone in the chat mentioned how many yards after the catch that were stolen from him because he had to play on the Oakland A's.
On the dirt. Yeah.
But I disagree because, like, Tim Brown never caught a ball over his shoulder. He only caught a ball facing a quarterback. His yards after the, I mean, he basically, it's kind of what we see from Travis Kelce. Like, Kelce is always looking at the quarterback and then makes a spin move. Mm-hmm. And his spin moves are just much better than everyone else's spin moves because he's so big. But like Tim Brown only caught a ball facing the quarterback. There was no over the shoulder catches and like running downfield stuff for him. It was all short stuff.
I'll defer to you on that. I don't have a major recollection of the prime Tim Brown years.
Yeah. I mean, you can remember John Taylor or Jerry Rice from that era, just like everything, like a lot of like either the quick slants or over the shoulder catches. That's just not who Tim Brown was as a player.
Still, 14 yards of catches is pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Heck of a player. Heck of a player, Tim Brown. Yeah. All right. We're talking Kings trade stuff. And there were, you said murmurs earlier, so that's the word I'm going to go with. Murmurs of a name.
Yeah. No,
that intrigues me very much.
Yeah, I think when we get to this point of the season, it's you keep hearing little things here and there, and something might not materialize. But I have heard that there might be interest in Jerami Grant, that if you're going to swing and miss on Pascal Siakam, if you're going to swing and miss on even the OG Anunoby thing, that maybe you start changing what you're looking for in a target, and that is a player who's under contract. And that's where, again, I think the Kings are better playing in that field anyways, where you can kind of secure what it is you're doing and look ahead and not have like uncertainty. So I don't know if there's anything brewing as of right now. I just know that like yesterday we started to hear that there were some things were heating up out there in the world, including in Kingsland. And and I have heard, well, nothing is imminent or anything, that there might be some interest in Jerami Grant, who of course is a 29-year-old, like 3-4 for the Portland Trailblazers. You know, he's a player that Kings fans know very well, because every time you play him, he torches you. Mm-hmm. Because he's long, he's athletic, he basically like a slightly scaled down version of like Brandon Ingram. You know, he like has that slender frame, but he's also a really good defender. He's just a really bad rebounder. And I haven't been high on the Jerami Grant wagon like over the course of time. Mm-hmm. There was a time where I was like, okay, I probably don't want him because he wants so much money, number one. But number two, I just don't know how he fits. But this team is different. And Domantas Sabonis, like the fact that you need someone like that next to Sabonis and someone who's switchable next to Keegan Murray, like this, it would make sense. His contract is a little crazy, a little higher than I would like to see the Kings go, just for longevity, you know, trying to build this thing out. But he's under contract this year at 27.5, next year at 29.8, the year after that at 32, then 34.2, and then 36.4. And see, it's this shaving that maximum of like 57 to 60 off the back end that you would be looking at with a guy like Pascal Siakam, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So like, while this deal isn't the best looking contract that I've seen, and sure, I love the Kyle Kuzma deal much, his contract much better. Like, I think Jerami Grant's a better defender. I think he's a really good scorer. He gives you length, athleticism, speed, quickness. He would fit. You know, there are some things that he doesn't do all that well, like rebounding.
I didn't realize he was only 6'7". I thought Jerami Grant was like a 6'9", 6'10 guy.
Wow, I'm surprised by that too. I would have put him at 6'9".
40.6% from three the last 2 years on decent volume, 5.6 a game.
Yep.
It feels, here's my one issue with it. It feels a little bit, I would need to do a deeper dive on him defensively.
Yeah.
And what he offers there. Because if he's not going to be a plus defender, then this feels real like it, not the same player, and not obviously, but feels a little Zach LaVine-ish to me.
Mm.
Well, you're getting a guy that's going to score and then not do a ton else.
Yeah, but I think defensively, he's always been solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been solid. He's also, you know, he's a player that, for me, as one of the red flags for me was that he's never really put up, like, solid offensive numbers on a good team. Like, all of his numbers, for the most part, you can look at his last year in OKC, where he's at, like, 13.6.
Like, and then his, you know, his 22.3 in Detroit, that was a horrible team. 19.2 in Detroit, bad team. Portland last year, 20.5, that was a bad team. And 21.5 this year, 21.4 this year, that's a bad team. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be a player who scores on a bad team. I mean, I always reference like the Antoine Carr days and the Rodney McRae days of Sacramento Kings. Even Wayman Tisdale was like a 10-point, 11-point per game scorer, comes to Sacramento and strings together a bunch of 20-point per game seasons.
Naturally.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like somebody has to score.
Right.
And so you want to make sure that that's not why Jeremy Grant is a 20-point per game scorer. But I also like his makeup, you know, that, and he's the son of, is it Harvey? Oh, yeah, Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his uncle is Horace Grant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good lineage.
Here's where I'm at with the Kings and making trades, and then we'll hit the break. Actually, you know what? We got to hit a break now. We'll talk more about Jeremy Grant here in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm telling you, man, if you're listening to the show on the free Odyssey app or on the radio, we appreciate the heck out of it. Thank you so very much. But if you're, maybe you're listening on your way to work, or you listen on your way to work, and you get out of your car and you're like, all right, I'm done listening today. No, no, no. Pop that up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And jump in the Chatty House. The Chatty House is great. I just, the conversations we have during the breaks, like, we always go right up to where we're like, okay, hang on, we got to stop. We're going back.
Yeah.
That's my most favorite. It's my most favorite part of the show.
Well, that's what you do, because I'm never paying any attention to what a clock is. Like, I don't go over.
You have it right there. You have it in front of you. You could look.
Kyle, one day, he's like, you know, you can just add up. And I'm like, oh, no, no. I'm just going to wait until you panic and say, oh, no, no, no.
We're back. We're back.
We're back.
Oh, man.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, no, we're talking a lot of like 90s, 2000s football today. And it's just really in my wheelhouse. Tom Too Witty in the chat wants to know who the most random tight end from my childhood is. I'm gonna have to think about that. Give me a few minutes to. I'll think about that at the break when I don't have to focus on other things. I'm gonna think really hard about this.
Okay, so I can say like Russ Francis was R.I.P. Was like the guy.
I was gonna say he's not random though. Russ Francis was a baller.
Yeah, and then Dan Jansen. I think was the tight end on the 84 Dolphins Super Bowl team. You know, everyone loved them some Todd Christensen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else. Like, Earl Cooper for the Niners, who was a running back first and then became a tight end.
Sure.
Yeah, you have no idea who any of these guys are. John Frank. Yeah, I could probably sit here and come up with a whole lot of 49ers.
Brent Jones is right about the time I start.
Okay, and then Greg Clark, RIP.
Greg Clark, yeah, he was there.
Yep.
Justin Peel.
Oh.
Garrett Celek. Like, those guys are more my like wheelhouse of random tight ends, but I'll think of a non-Niners one from my childhood. Anyways, Jeremy Grant is who we're talking about, and the whispers have turned to murmurs on a potential Jeremy Grant to the Sacramento Kings deal. Now, you were mentioning this before the show. There's the date matters here. January 15th is the date that we should be circling for when, like, the trade deadline is February 8th, but January 15th is maybe a more key date than that.
Yeah, January 15th is a date that players that it's like a weird rule. So players that were signed because they re-signed using bird rights with 20% raises in salary, right? Mm-hmm. And if their team is over the cap, they cannot be traded until January 15th. Mm-hmm. And there's a handful of players like this around the league, including Jeremy Grant, including D'Angelo Russell, which there may or may not be some rumors heating up with the Atlanta Hawks and Los Angeles Lakers. We'll have to wait and see how that all pans out. But there are a group of players. So December 15th is a day that players who in the offseason signed with new teams can be traded. But then there are other dates like where Harrison Barnes couldn't be traded until December 29th, because that was 6 months from the date that he signed his extension with the Kings. He signed it before, quote unquote, before free agency started, right? Mm-hmm. Because they still had his rights to do so. But then there's this other group of players that are signed and who make a 20% pay increase. They can't be traded until January 15th. And so Jeremy Grant falls into that because he's on his new extension.
So does DeJounte Murray, who's another player we've talked about for the Kings.
Yeah. I haven't seen.
Although I'm out on that.
DeJounte, yeah.
If I have a choice between those two, I think I'm going to go Jeremy Grant. Although it feels very similar. Like, all the reasons that I thought that DeJounte Murray makes sense for the Kings, I think Jeremy Grant also makes sense. I think he's probably a little bit better in the... I think if you're Sacramento, adding a player who can play the 3-4 instead of the 2 and a little bit of 1 is preferable. So I lean Jeremy Grant on that, especially if you're going to get plus defense and hustle from him. You're going to get a 40%. If they can replace Harrison Barnes without losing like his shooting, because he's shooting the heck out of the ball this year.
Yeah.
If you can get an equivalent shooter who's going to maybe create a little more off the dribble, be a little more of a playmaker off the bounce and be a better defender, I think that makes the Kings pretty significantly better right away.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is a better player. I don't love the contract. Yeah, just because
he's expensive.
He's in his 29-year season right now, so you're basically going to have to pay for his 30, 31, 32, 33 years. I guess that's not bad as long as he maintains. He's also a player who didn't play a ton when he was young, so maybe the mileage on his body isn't as much. He's a guy that, again, comes into the league at 20, but doesn't play real substantial minutes until he's like 24.
Mm-hmm.
And it does matter. You know, that fully does matter. I'd also say...
Oh, he turns 30 this year.
Yeah, he turns 30 this year. Yeah, so... look, most NBA players continue to be really, really good for quite some time after that.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing, I know this is kind of like a weird, sneaky thing I'll throw in there. He also played during the 2019-20 season with the Denver Nuggets that lost in the Western Conference Finals. And the reason I bring this up is because that's sort of one of the first years that Jokic is Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's played with a big man like Sabonis. He knows how to play off of a big man like Sabonis. He's a good defender. He's long. He's athletic. He does a lot of cool things. Now, whether or not this ever materializes, who knows? Like, these are names that we hear, just like, you know, how many times have we heard Kyle Kuzma in coordination with the Sacramento Kings? But this is something that like, I think it's worth noting that you should probably keep your eyes out for, especially with Portland. You know, what happened with Portland last night where they lost by 62?
Bro, real quick, 62 points?
62.
62 points.
Yes.
If Oklahoma City scored 0 points in the second half, the Blazers would have won by two.
Huh.
62. That's being down 50.
Yeah.
Which is like, that gets tweeted about, right? A team is down 50.
Yeah, the Kings were down 50 at home the other night.
Right. Okay, now go there. Okay, let's go back to that.
Okay.
Team goes up by a 50 burger. That is like rock bottom. 49? Okay. 50? Rock bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like you're not a bona fide scorer unless you hit 50. If you hit 49,
like, dang, you're good. Pretty good game. Pretty good game.
Pretty good.
Same thing like Damian talked about yesterday, that 30. 29-point score versus 30-point score.
The like, 20 points for Sabonis. Yes. Sabonis going over the 20-point mark.
19.8 versus 20.0 is like, so anyways, 50. 40 is like, dang, you got murked. 30, you got 20, you're a couple buckets from being back in this.
Yeah.
Right? 50, though. Imagine being down 50. And then the other team goes on a 12-0 run. And then the game ends.
You know what happens in those games?
That's 62 points.
Kyle, in those games, that's where I like, I don't know if people enjoy that I tweeted or not. Like, I know the other night I tweeted Kevin Herter 3-ball, Kings within 40.
Yeah, that's funny. No, that's good. That's the only way you can get through that.
Yeah, it is. Like, if I have to sit there and watch it, I'm going to get snarky.
Right. Kings get a layup, slash the lead to whatever. Yeah,
it's dry humor, but I'm getting snarky on you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I'd also add the one other thing about Jeremy Grant, which I did not think about before, is that hiding on that 2019-20 Denver Nuggets roster was a coach named Jordy Fernandez.
Oh.
Who was part of Michael Malone's staff. So, again, these are sort of like the ties that bind. You want to, like, 6 degrees of separation type stuff where you're looking for, like, little connections.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you're Jordy Fernandez and you're looking for a defensive upgrade, you know if he's a defensive upgrade or not. You know what you're getting with him. He was there for a year with him, but he knows. He played a lot of games, a lot of minutes, and I think even the Kings don't even care about the offense. They don't. At least not that. Like, realistically, you need to be concerned with how do you improve your defense? How do you defend?
Yes.
How do you stop the one team that you can't stop? And it's very clear. It's the Pelicans. You can't stop them. You have to find somebody to go to match up with them. Because the last thing you want to be is a 4-5 matchup with them. Oof. Or a 3-6. Like, and that,
which
those
is
are,
very much on the table.
Yeah, it's sitting right there. Mm-hmm. And you could see New Orleans saying, oh, we'll tank this last game so we can play the Kings in the first round.
Right.
That sounds good to us because they've mollywopped you like 4 times already. Yeah. They've just crushed you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think one time they lost by 5. But the rest of them, like, not really all that competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to find somebody that can defend Brandon Ingram. I don't think there's anyone out there that you just go, hey, he's the Zion Williamson stopper.
Dude, seriously.
Like, the only way to do that
is a bank vault on a Roomba.
Yeah, exactly. Just you build a wall and you hope that he doesn't still sneak around the wall and do a left-handed layup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much does net rating matter to you? Individual net rating?
Well, it depends. Like,
first season.
Okay, so most stats like net rating and most stats like plus-minus, they're not good in a small sample size. So right. I could imagine that, you know, his net rating could be like so off the charts bad, but it's because he just lost a game by 62 points and he was part of that. And so you're going to have this issue with that. I'd like to see his net rating for his career. I'd like to see the net rating for him over a 4-year period or a 3-year period. But, you know, it's one thing if again, Alex Len this season, he's like almost every game he plays in, he's a positive. And I think there are 3 games that he's played in where he's a negative. And he's a combined like -4 in those 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
The positive that he brings on the plus minus box is crazy So you start to understand that a trend, he sort of defies a trend. It doesn't matter if he goes in a game when it's a blowout. It doesn't matter if he goes in the game, you know, when it's closer, you're up two. It does. His impact is felt in almost every single game.
Yeah.
But you usually want a much larger sample size than just one season to rate a player.
He has now, granted, he has been on a lot of really bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
He has two seasons with a positive net rating.
Yeah. No, it's tough.
And those were two seasons where he had two of his lowest usage rates.
Yeah. I mean, I've always looked at him as a player that, number one, the Kings liked him when he was in Detroit and were interested in making a trade for him then.
But okay, I'm in here, and let me tell you why. I'm just looking at this from a numbers perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a positive net rating in 2017-18, he was a 1.7, and then in 2018-19 he was a 5.4 positive.
Okay.
With OKC.
Yep.
Since then, it has gone downhill pretty dramatically.
Okay.
But all of the years where his net rating is the worst, so 16, oh no, he only played two games in 16-17, I feel like worse. 16-17 total. Okay. This year, a 25.3 usage rate and a minus 12.5 net rating. In 21-22, he was 25.3 usage rate and a minus 7.8. So the years where his usage rates are the highest is when his net rating is the lowest.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see that usage rate of 25.3 plummet if he comes to Sacramento.
No, totally.
And that I think is a positive for Jeremy Grant, because it's going to allow him to maximize what he's doing. They're not going to ask him to create a ton off the dribble. There's going to be times that they do. There's going to be times where they like a matchup for him and they're going to get him the ball and they're going to say, you go cook. But it's going to be a lot of hanging out in the corner. It's going to be a lot of leaking out and fast break buckets and open corner threes that we see Harrison Barnes get a lot of. And I think you see that usage rate dip, and I think you see his production climb because of it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that there are players we get. So we had the discussion yesterday about the Hall of Fame, right? Like whether Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox can be Hall of Famers,
mm-hmm.
right? I hope that there comes a point with a player like Jeremy Grant where you look at the fact that you're not. That's not who you are. You're not going to be a Hall of Famer. You don't all of a sudden at age 29... string together 5 years yeah. that weren't there before and become right. a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Right. That's not the way this thing works. And so at that point in your career, you just got paid, right? You got a bunch of money and that's good. Like you're set for life. You just got like what? $150 million over 5 years.
Yeah.
I think it's right around there. Right. If you can accept that in order for you to be a
five for 160, go ahead.
Yeah. 5 for 160. If you can fit in and be a great role player on a very good to great team, okay. Like, that's where you want the buy-in. And that is acknowledging that, like, look, whatever it is that I thought I could have been at one point, I'm not going to get there. And that's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. But this is who I want to be, and this is how I can get to. I got my money.
Mm-hmm.
I got the contract there. I'm safe. I'm like, my next 5 years is going to be a lot of money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I've set myself up for the rest of my life, maybe two generations, maybe three, but you hope that a player goes, I'm willing to accept whatever it is that I need to be for a team now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good, because that's what you're hoping. And if that's not who he is, it's like, okay.
That to me, as you say that almost to me, if you're the Kings, has to be a bigger part of any calculus they're doing on who they want to acquire. Like that fit and knowing that role, whatever role, if you're going to go get a player like Jeremy Grant or DeJounte Murray is another player that we brought up earlier, or
Kyle Kuzma
or Zach LaVine, or pick the biggest name that we've talked about. It is the common thread to all of those is, well, would they accept this role?
Yeah.
Would they accept this role as a fourth option, maybe third option with the starting lineup? And again, This is where my questions come in, because like Keegan Murray, if he's going to offensively be as aggressive as he's been the last couple of nights against Detroit and Charlotte, and that's one of the things I'm watching for tonight against a good team like Philly. I know it's no Joel Embiid, but if Keegan Murray is going to go out and on the road on national TV against a really good Philly team, go out and be that aggressive offensively. Now I'm changing my mind about, like, okay, what do I need from that player? So, Jeremy Grant, you're looking at third, maybe fourth option, depending on Keegan Murray, depending on if he's on the floor with Malik Monk. Is he fine with that? Is he okay with that? Is he going to say, hey, I don't have the ball in my hands a ton, I'm going to go impact the game in other ways?
You know, Kyle, I think it's like, this is a really interesting basketball discussion, right? Because you name four players, and of the four players, I would take Jeremy Grant, because I think Jeremy Grant is closer to the understanding of what a role player is.
Where that's a good point.
I think Kuzma, Levine, DeJounte Murray, like, I think that he is closer to, like, okay, I know who I am and what I am, and this is, it also is because he's 29, right? So I think that that's part of it. But it also, like, I think for everyone out there, it should probably help you understand why it is the Kings were looking at Pascal Siakam so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pascal Siakam instantly comes in and he's your number two scorer.
Right.
And he will demand that, and he will act accordingly. And that means that Domantas Sabonis becomes your third best scorer. And if, heaven forbid, Keegan Murray decides he's going to be a really good scorer as well, now Domantas Sabonis might become your fourth best scorer. Mm-hmm. And you start seeing how this thing becomes a really, really, really high-end team. Like, very quickly. Yeah. Like, again, if Malik Monk is your fifth best scorer on a team, and everyone knows what Malik Monk can do, now you're starting to go, okay.
Right.
And it's not just like, oh, they're going to score 150 a night. It's not that. It's that on each and every night, you have three or four players that can bust somebody up for 30.
Yeah.
And that's just really tough to defend. And so it makes sense why the Kings would be looking at and willing to, like, really, you know, go all in maybe on a guy like Pascal Siakam if he was going to stay. If he's not going to stay, it's a waste of your time. Get away from it. Mm-hmm. But if not, if you think that there's a way that you could land a player like that, he's a much better player than Kyle Kuzma. He's a much better player than Jeremy Grant. The problem is you're going to have to pay for that. And that's, I think, one of the problems that you have if you're the Kings. It's like, how do you fit all these guys in together? But also, like, it's why you also look at players who are locked in 3-year deals, 4-year deals, and can't say, no, I don't want to re-sign with Sacramento.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you got traded there. Like,
great, you're staying.
This is your life now. Like, make the best of it. Like, Kyle Kuzma, like, it would be 3.5 seasons in Sacramento, barring the Kings trading him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, Jeremy Grant, you just signed a 5-year deal. So he's in the first 6 months of a 5-year deal. He's got 4.5 years.
Right.
So you hope that he's going to be good that whole time and that he's going to be willing to accept that role. But, you know, a championship teams have players like Jeremy Grant on them.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is the key. This is what you're saying. They have players like Jeremy Grant in roles that they're probably overqualified for.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about the Nuggets a lot because, A, they're the defending champs, and B, I think they're kind of the gold standard for team building.
I think it's a perfect discussion right now. It's the Denver Nuggets.
Aaron Gordon is vastly overqualified for what Aaron Gordon is doing for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, but...
On a team, what's the most he can do production-wise? He is way, way overqualified to be a defender, scrappy, diving on the floor for loose balls, playing really good defense. He was a number one in Orlando. He was the dude in Orlando. And then he goes and he takes this backseat to Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. And now he's like the fourth option, sometimes the fifth, depending on what KCP is doing. Mm-hmm. He was certainly the fifth when Bruce Brown was on the floor. That's what a Jeremy Grant type of player would need to be for the Kings, where you're looking and going, wow, Jeremy Grant is the defense and hustle guy. He is what he could be scoring 20 a night, but he's getting you 13 or 14 a night and playing really good defense and getting rebounds, which I know he hasn't done a ton of, blocking a few shots, altering shots at the rim, you know, being that type of player. That's where he becomes a piece of a championship team, is when he is, to me, overqualified for the role that he's going to be in. And I think when you bring that up, closing lineup, let's talk this.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, Jeremy Grant, Domas.
Yeah.
Right? He is the fifth scoring option in an ideal world. And that's not to disparage Jeremy Grant. That's to say, hey, if Jeremy Grant in that lineup is the fifth option because everybody else is playing that well, now that's a really, really dangerous team.
No, I think so. And also, like, if you just look at the pure matchups against a team like Denver, Denver is the cream of the crop. They are the best team in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I don't care
maybe
what
the league.
I don't care what the stats say right now. Yeah, maybe in the league because, hey, they won the championship last year, right? And your point with Aaron Gordon, like, Aaron Gordon's doing whatever he's having to do because he just got a ring and because he saw the pathway to the ring.
Yep.
The pathway to ring is to make sure that Jokic is protected. It's to save Jokic. And allow him to do what he does because you're an incredible team when you allow him to do what he does, right? And that's where the Kings have to figure out how to protect Sabonis so he can be the same thing. But all of a sudden, if I'm looking at this team, I can see Keegan Murray matching up with Michael Porter Jr. I can see Jeremy Grant matching up with Aaron Gordon. I can see De'Aaron Fox is a better player than Jamal Murray. You're still going to have to figure out that shooting guard spot, but I think Denver's still figuring out their shooting guard spot as well, especially long term. And then you have the center matchup. Like, you're designing a team almost exactly like the Denver Nuggets. Like, are some pieces better than other pieces? Like, if we're rating them on each position, but you're much closer, and that's where I think the Kings have been lacking that forward to get them to that point. And it's not a knock on Harrison Barnes as much as it is like, look, Harrison Barnes does not have a 7'3" wingspan, and every other team has a guy with a 7'3" wingspan, and Harrison Barnes is not that guy. It's not that he does anything wrong. I said he can't do some of the things that you need him to do, like defend an Ingram, like defend Michael Porter Jr. when he gets on fire. Like, those are things that you need. And until the Kings find that guy, that's why I don't think that they're considered a championship contending team, because they don't have that guy that can do that.
I am in lockstep with you on that. It is not, it's not to disparage Harrison Barnes or say Harrison Barnes stinks, but like, yo, the Kings have just kind of outgrown what he does for them. They are looking to go beyond. Harrison Barnes was great, ushering in a new culture and knocking down some threes for them and being a switchable player that Mike Brown can kind of move around and allowing him to integrate Keegan Murray without putting too much on his plate. Like, Harrison Barnes was an integral piece last year. He has taken this season, that's why they re-signed him. This season, he has taken a little bit of a step back. And it's clear the Kings are trying to move forward and they're hitting a little bit of a ceiling, not solely because of Harrison Barnes, but when you look at reasons they're hitting that ceiling, to me, a little bit of it is because of number 40. And so if you can get the role that he plays and what they need out of that position, he's not able to give it to them.
It's because he's miscast, but yes, I agree with you. And like, I always go back to this point real quickly before we go to a break.
Yeah.
Like, there was a point where the Kings traded Jason Williams, one of the most electric players in the league, for Mike Bibby. And it's just because they were different. The need for the team was a player like Mike Bibby who was stable in his position. It was not the flamboyant passing and craziness of Jason Williams. And it, like, if you still, who would you rather choose to be on your team at that point in time? It'd probably be Jason Williams. But if you want to take the next step, sometimes it's just a different player.
Yeah,
it's
good
not,
analogy.
It's not a player that's better or worse. It's a player that's different.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, you know, we've kind of run into it with Harrison Barnes. They need something different, and he can't provide that. And it's not on him as much as it is just the way this team is organically grown.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. Let's pick this up in a little bit. We've got playoff football this weekend. We're going to talk about it next. Who should the 49ers be rooting for? We'll tell you on the other side. He's James and Kyle. We're the Insiders.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.